You are Locked On MLB, your daily podcast on Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On MLB. I am your host, Tommy Stokey, and it is Friday, April 27th. We've got one day game going on between the Cubs and the Brewers, and a full night slate weekend action. We'll preview the weekend series, go through each one in segment three today. But with it being the NFL draft weekend, I wanted to go back and take a look at the 2016 MLB draft. I know it's too early to tell most of the players, and I thought it was really too early to tell for the 2017 draft. So I just wanted to go back, look at the 2016 draft for Major League Baseball, now that we've got a season and a half or so of signs and trends and performances, and who maybe would redo things. So we'll look at the first round. And then after that, I'm going to look at some notable other names that teams took later in the round, and end with not necessarily a redraft, but take a look at how things might have been different if teams could have a do-over. So those will be our three segments today on Locked On MLB, your daily podcast covering Major League Baseball. We are on iTunes. You can subscribe and rate and 5 stars and review. You can find us on Spotify, and you can find us on Google Play, as well as LockedOnMLB.com. So make sure you guys are checking us out on all of those platforms, whichever is your go-to for podcasts. So let's get to our first segment of the day. So the draft, 2016, as I go through this list, this was the Phillies' top pick when they took Mickey Moniak number one. And the difference between the MLB draft and one of the things that we have to remember is that in the NBA draft, in the MLB or in the NFL draft, I don't know enough about hockey to know how that draft works, but the NFL draft and NBA draft, you're taking who you think is the best player or going to be the best player or fits a need of some kind. In Major League Baseball draft, you are taking not for need, because these guys aren't going to be around in, you know, some for 4 or 5 years, some maybe for a year or two, but usually it's just you're taking talent. But you're taking, in some cases, like the Phillies, you're taking a player who you don't necessarily think is the best because you're going to save money on him. And you're going to spend less money on your first-round pick and then spend more money on your second, third, fourth pick and look at the draft as a whole. And so that's where things are a little bit different. You know, the Phillies might not have thought that Mickey Moniak was the best player in this draft, but the combination of him as a player, what he could be, and what he was going to cost, which frees up money elsewhere, we have to remember that. So in some of these cases, it's, you know, if we look at a redraft and say, oh, a team would have taken this guy instead, well, part of that's not necessarily fair, because if we redraft, we're going based off who just the best pure player is and not factoring in all of the money issues that come with it. So the Phillies took Moniak first. The Reds went Nick Senzel second. The Braves went Ian Anderson third. I think that one was kind of a surprise, especially, and that was one where Braves fans were like, man, we already have all this pitching. Why don't we go get a Corey Ray, a Kyle Lewis, and fill out some of our position player depth? But the Braves, who I think had one of the strongest drafts then and even looking back now, there was some thought that maybe they'd want to do over if they could, but I think they're going to be happy with that. Number four, Riley Pint. Riley Pint went to the Rockies. Corey Ray went to the Brewers. Corey Ray, that's somebody who really has not figured it out yet, and he was supposed to be safe, I believe. I mean, coming out of Louisville, whether or not he was going to stick in center was debatable, but I think he's been one of the bigger disappointments so far, and I want to say that we're a year and a half in, And so writing any of these guys off seems like bad practice. And just because Corey Ray is off to a bad start doesn't mean that he's not going to be a good player or, you know, a major leaguer or whatever. But he's definitely been off to a slow start so far. AJ Puck, Oakland Athletics, it looked like he was going to make his debut. If not, very soon, we'll say. I guess he wasn't going to make the team out of spring training, but he looked like a guy that was going to make an impact early, and he was somebody that in that draft a lot of people thought would be the top pick or one of them. I think Oakland was surprised to get him at number six. So out of Florida, AJ Puck, six. Braxton Garrett, a high school lefty, seven to the Marlins. Cal Quantrill, eight to the Padres. He was coming off Tommy John surgery. Matt Manning, nine to the Tigers. Zach Collins, 10 to the White Sox. Kyle Lewis, 11 to the Mariners. A lot of people thought that was a steal. A guy that had a chance to go number one. A guy that would have fit very well with the Braves. And he tore his ACL in his first pro year and has had some problems coming back from that, getting fully healthy. Part of the problem was as soon as he was healthy, he went right back into baseball and probably didn't rest that knee enough. But I think he's a guy that once he gets onto the field and playing, he's going to be one of the better players in this draft. Jay Groom, 12 to the Red Sox. Josh Lowe, 13 to the Rays. Will Benson to the Indians. Alex Kirilloff to the Twins. I think he underwent either Tommy John or some sort of shoulder surgery before. Matt Theis to the Angels at 16, a catcher out of Virginia, one of the guys that a lot of people thought was one of the best hitters available in the draft. Forrest Whitley, 17, that's a guy that we'll look at probably in that top five of a redraft, and somebody that we'll see how his suspension, he got a 50-game drug suspension. I shouldn't say 50 because I don't remember off the top of my head how many it is, but he is suspended for part of this season, so we'll see how that affects his immediate future as far as whether or not he'll help the team this year, but definitely a guy that is on the cusp of being ready to help the Astros, you know, because since they really need the help. The Yankees, Blake Rutherford, he was in that deal sent to the White Sox where they boosted their pen with David Robertson, Tommy Canley. So Rutherford is somebody who's fallen in terms of expectations, a lot of questions about his power, but the White Sox will gladly take a lottery ticket there and see what they can turn him into. The Mets with Justin Dunn, he's a guy that I think would go higher than 19 if we redrafted. He's had a good start this season. The Dodgers, Gavin Lux, I don't even think he's in their top, considered one of their top 10 prospects right now by MLB.com. And that's another one where, you know, high school shortstop, still very young, still a lot of time for that to work out. But so far, I think his stock has fallen a bit. Again, a year in, he was a high school pick. Tze Zuch, I'm probably saying that wrong, to the Blue Jays at 21. Will Craig, third baseman, 22 to the Pirates. Delvin Perez to the Cardinals at 23. He was somebody that a lot of people thought was going to be a top 10-ish pick in the draft, but he had failed a pre-draft test for PEDs, I believe, and so he fell to 23 to the Cardinals. 24, Hudson Sanchez to the Padres. Padres again, Eric Lauer. He has already made his debut for the Padres. They have two people from this draft that have made their debuts. But this is getting into the compensation round. So the Cardinals were the 23rd pick was the last pick of the first round. Zach Birdie, 26. Corey Sedlock, 27 to the Orioles. Carter Kieboom, 28 to the Nationals. The Nationals get Dane Dunning, 29. Cole Reagans, 30. Mets, Anthony Kay, 31. Will Smith, 32. The Cardinals, Dakota Hudson at 34. So that's your first round and compensation round. And then lottery round, Taylor Trammell, Jordan Sheffield, and Joey Wentz are some of the names that stand out there. And then you get into the second round. So from first round standpoint, I think, you know, the Nationals, they turned Dane Dunning into Adam Eaton. He was part of that trade along with Lucas Giolito and Ronaldo Lopez. I think that was the one. I forgot the Nationals and White Sox actually made a couple trades, so let me double check that. No, that was the trade. It was those three. I don't know what other trade I was thinking of. Maybe I'm just completely wrong. So that's a name that's made an impact. Eric Lauer has made an impact by making his major league debut. But that's the first round. I think as we go through what a redraft looks like, you know, as I scroll through, the Phillies would probably do something different there. Moniak hasn't had the start that many people expected, and he was supposed to be a safe high school pick. He was supposed to have a high floor, and he still can. But I think there was a lot of disappointment from his first professional season. And the one thing that I caution is, remember, for a lot of these guys, especially the ones out of high school, they're living on their own for the first time, going bus to bus, city to city. And so there is more than just a baseball transition that's happening for some of these guys in their first year. Senzel will probably see soon. Ian Anderson a little bit away. Pint still away. Corey Ray, slow start. Puck, once he gets back from Tommy John, we'll see. Who else might we see? Kyle Lewis could be up soon, relatively soon, once he shows that he's healthy. A couple of these middle picks haven't really worked out. Whitley, we talked about already. Dunn is off to a better start. So, but some of the bigger names are going to be in this later round. So we'll take a look here in segment two at some value picks and some other notable names in our draft. So let's go team by team here and some value picks, and some teams I just don't know that had any value picks, or you have to be really into prospects, and that's not me. But for the Arizona Diamondbacks, John Duplantier, third round, 89th overall. He's a guy that a lot of people feel could help the team this year. He was out of Rice. The Braves, not only did they get Ian Anderson, but they added Joey Wentz, Kyle Muller, Brett Cumberland, Bryce Wilson, all in the top 109 picks. And so, again, even if those guys don't pan out, at least Wilson, Muller, or at least Wilson and Wentz and Anderson are in top 100s. I don't know if Muller is or not. And then Cumberland, a catching guy, figure can help at that. That's a weak part in the Braves system so far, so he can help there. The Orioles, they took Corey Sedlak, one, but Austin Hayes, 91 overall, looks like a good value pick. The tough part there is that the Orioles didn't have their first overall pick because they signed Giovanni Gallardo and lost their first-round pick, and that did not work out, to say the least. The Red Sox got a guy in Bobby Dalbec, I think is an interesting name. In the like third or fourth round. Cubs' first pick was Thomas Hatch. He was in the third round. They didn't have their top picks because they signed John Lackey and Jason Hayward. The White Sox, I look at Alec Hansen, second round, 49th pick, and that might turn out to be one of the best values because he might show up later in our top, in our redraft, but he is a guy that could have gone number one at one point. I think an inconsistent year at Oklahoma, some injury pushed him down, but he was a guy that a lot of people looked at early as a top pick potential. Taylor Trammell, we mentioned for the Reds, the Indians. Nolan Jones is a name. Robert Murray brought up this week in his article that keep an eye on Shane Bieber for the Indians, who was selected fourth. Round 122 overall. Kyle Funkhauser turned down a deal with the Dodgers to go back to school and come back in the draft, and actually fell to the 115th pick overall in the fourth round of the Tigers. Nicky Lopez was a fifth round pick for the Royals, 163rd overall. He tore up the Arizona Fall League. Brandon Marsh for the Angels, second round, 60th overall. A couple top 10 guys for the Dodgers, Mitchell White, 65th overall, DJ Peters, 131st pick. Corbin Burns is a guy that the Brewers, fourth round, 111th overall. He's a top 100 guy, somebody that I think a lot of people thought should be in the Brewers bullpen to begin the year, if not eventually become a starter for them this year. So we'll see what happens with him. Jojo Romero, he's in Keith Law's top 100. He was a mid-round pick for the Phillies. Peter Alonso, second round for the Mets, 64th overall. Somebody that people are asking, is he better than Dom Smith or is he going to replace Dom Smith? I think, you know, I don't know enough about him to say, but that's a question that I've seen being asked. Logan Shore for the A's, second round, 47th overall. The Padres have gotten two players that they drafted in 2016 that have made their debuts. Joey Lucchese, I hope I'm saying that right. I've said it different times every time, I think. Fourth round, 114th overall. And then Eric Lauer, first round, 25th pick. Both those guys made debuts. Nationals sent Sheldon Neuse and Jesus Luzardo to Oakland for Ryan Madsen and Sean Doolittle. And then they sent Dane Dunning for Adam Eaton. So they've already gotten something back for some of their 2016 picks. And then probably the biggest, what could turn out to be the biggest steal of this draft is Bo Bichette went 66th, second round, to the Blue Jays. And he is a pretty consensus top 20 prospect at this time. So if we look at potentially redrafting this, I would, and this isn't based on, I mean, you could base it on a couple different things and you could look at, you know, top 100 guys and all that, but I would think Nick Senzel might go first. Bo Bichette might go first. Forrest Whitley could go first. But I think your top five is looking something along the lines of some combination of Senzel, Bichette, A.J. Puck maybe not, though, because of his Tommy John. Forrest Whitley would be up there. Jay Groom is probably still up there. Corbin Burns at this point might be up there. Hanson, Kyle Lewis, depending on what he looks like. Ian Anderson could still be up there. So, you know, if you guys have feedback, what you think your top five would be, let me know. And that could give me some feedback as to who's listening. But Senzel, Bichette, Whitley, I think would be a fair top three. And then some combination of those guys would come in after that. All right, for our last segment of the day, let's look at a quick run-through of each series this weekend. Obviously, we've got the Cubs and the Brewers. That's a big series, just in general, not adding to the fact that both are NL Central contenders. The Diamondbacks and Nationals, the Diamondbacks have not lost a series all year as their road trip continues. We'll see if they can keep that going. The Braves and the Phillies, I mentioned on Monday that I thought the Braves had the biggest week or most important week in baseball. They got a split against the Reds on the road. I don't think that they should be very happy with that. But one of the things that I did mention was that this is probably the time for Ronald Acuna to come up, and he did that. He did that in a big way. So maybe they can ride some of that, you know, positive energy and just the uplifting spirit or whatever that he brings to that team and that jolt of energy, not to mention that he's really good at baseball. Let's see if they can ride that into two out of three against the Phillies, and I think you're happy or you're okay with that week if you're the Braves. For the Phillies, you lost a series in Atlanta last week trying to win a series this week, and if you're the Phillies, this is the team that you have to beat to stay up there in the NL East. The Orioles and Tigers, I'm sorry if you are watching that series. The White Sox and Royals, wow, the AL Central is a little rough this year. Minnesota AL Central, they're at home, though, against the Reds, and they have been rough so far, and they are playing the Reds, and so that's a series that they need to win. We've mentioned multiple times that the Marlins and Reds are games that you have to win if you are a playoff contender or want to be a playoff contender, because those teams are not very good. The Reds are coming around, and maybe they had some bad luck early and they just weren't hitting. Joey Votto's starting to hit now, but Minnesota's got to get on a roll. The Reds are usually a good medicine for that. Indians and Mariners continue their four-game set. Corey Kluber pitches tonight. The Rockies and the Marlins this weekend. Astros and Oakland. Astros are throwing Keuchel, McCullers, and Garrett Cole, and that's a really good three guys to send out there, especially against a good offense in Oakland. And then you don't even mention that they still have Justin Verlander, who's not throwing there. No Ohtani this weekend against the Yankees as the Angels take on New York. The Dodgers, Walker Buehler, will get a second start as the four games in 3 days against San Francisco with a doubleheader in there. Mets in San Diego, Cardinals and Pirates, and then Texas and Toronto. So that is your weekend slate. I'm probably going to spend some time watching Cubs-Brewers. I think Braves-Phillies can be good. D-backs Nationals should be a good series. And then, you know, I would go Astros-Oakland. So we've got some good entertaining baseball this weekend with some good storylines to follow. Hopefully we'll have something to talk about on Monday. So thanks for listening. You can find us again on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or at LockedOnMLB.com.